There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it's Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. And this is a conversation that it's going to take. You heard me at the end of last hour trying to explain it. And this decision the Alabama Supreme Court passed over the weekend, and I did a poor job on it. So I'm lucky to have my friend Ashley Trice, co-publisher of Landyap, on to talk more about this. And it's, I'll say this. So, you know how I go on my thing about I want to remove the term transparency? You know how you have the cliched word list, and I want to add transparency to that because, you know, just like everything means infrastructure now in the bills in Washington, everything means transparency that's not transparency. So I'd like to remove it. But now we're looking at a real case, and this is not transparent, no matter how you try to use the cliched word. Let's get more of this.
Millions of dollars on body cameras. For police officers in the name of transparency.
Transparency.
I think you need to, maybe you can, you know, give that word. It is a cliche, but if people are going to use it to spend millions of dollars, we need to look at it.
Yeah, let's, okay. So, Ashley, a lot to talk about here. So first, okay. And to do this, set the stage here, not that this isn't a conversation for a lot of different people and investigations and all that, but specifically what brought y'all with Landyap to bring this suit and the specific case. Can you kind of set that up for us?
Sure. So in May of 2017, this man by the name of Jonathan Victor, he was a resident of Louisiana. He was driving down I-10 in Baldwin County, and he had an one-car accident. He went off the side of the road. His car, you know, went into a trees or ditch area or whatever. People were trying to help him. He was being unresponsive. He was sort of being combative. He just, you know, kind of looked like he was confused or disoriented or whatever. And so the police were called to help him. And somewhere along the way, someone thought he might have a weapon. You know, it was sort of like when you hear the dispatchers on 911, it's like a bad game of telephone. Like someone said, "Oh, he may have a weapon." And then the next person said he has a weapon. I mean, it was really terrible. There was never really any indication except that he had something in his hand.
Right.
And when they tried to get him out, they kept telling him to drop what he had in his hand, and he still was disoriented, and he never did. And finally, the sheriff's deputy shot him, and he passed away. Well, come to find out, it was a fanny pack
that he was holding in his hand. Right. Okay.
Right. And so the Sheriff Mack and the major crime unit over in Baldwin County, they had a big press conference, and they showed, like, they picked one small part of the body camera footage, which showed him not complying with the request and then him getting shot. And our big question was, well, how did it get from just this one man who was by himself, who didn't have a criminal record of any sort, from an accident to getting killed on the side of the road? And so we wanted to see what happened before. We wanted to see the footage before he was shot and before he stopped complying or whatever.
You wanted to see
and
the whole
so
breadth of it, right? You wanted to see the whole thing. The whole thing.
Okay. We didn't want a cherry-picked version of it. Okay. We wanted to see the whole thing. And so we made the request for that, and it was denied. And then it went to a circuit court in Baldwin County, and that judge upheld it. And so we appealed it to the Supreme Court to say, you know, we have a right to see this. And the Supreme Court, and we argued this in front of the Supreme Court in July 2020, and we just got the opinion last week. But they said, they ruled that any body camera footage, if there's an exemption for investigative materials under the Open Records Act. And so that means, you know, notes that are about suspects that may, you know, could make the outcome of the case, you know,
right,
put it in detriment or whatever.
Right.
So it would be detrimental to the outcome of the case. So if you, anything like that, they can keep and they don't have to turn over under an Open Records Act request. So, but that is supposed to be really narrow. You know, it's not supposed to be used for everything. But the justices ruled that body camera footage can now be considered investigative material. So they will never have to turn it over.
Well, won't they have to turn it over once the investigation's over?
Well, I mean, this investigation is over as far as the criminal side of it, but their attorneys argued in front of the justices that there's no statute of limitations on murder, so the deputy could, you know, it could always be, you know, open forever and ever because, you know, the man was killed by the deputy, so...
Well, and when the calls for body cam footage most often come, right, is when somebody dies.
Right.
That, I mean, that's, I'm sure, yes, there's other situations where you call for body cam video, but I mean, often when it gets the biggest attention is when somebody's dead.
Right.
So,
and I mean, a lot of people have been trying to turn this into, oh, well, this is just, you know, going after law enforcement. No, this is just, we have, how many millions and millions of dollars have we spent on body cameras that is supposed to protect the officer and protect the people that they're interacting with? And then if we can never see it, what's the purpose of it? You know, that's our big,
right,
big argument here. So,
and you know, on a timeline, and last thing everybody's going to accuse me of is going after law enforcement, but in the timeline,
right,
in the short term, I get it. You know, if it's 24 hours after, 48 hours after, you have some explosive situation, they're going to wait for a second to do this or finish finding the people there in the video, those things.
Of course.
Once
you've got some resolution to the case, why can't you turn it over?
That's what I don't get.
And also, why can't you turn the complete video over, not just what you choose to release? You know, because everything has context. I mean, even in this case, we got the body camera footage ultimately because it was in a federal civil trial by the family. And the judge in that case said, hey, you know, this isn't, you know, an open and shut case. I mean, there's a lot of questions here, you know, that, you know, the officer didn't ask anybody what weapon he had. And there was a lot of things that the judge in that case said, I think we need to pause here for a minute. There are some questions here, you know, but you would have never known that if we hadn't have gotten it from the federal case, from the civil case. So,
but what about, okay, and freedom of information or transparency, or I would go through all the cliches.
Blah,
here.
Blah, blah, yeah.
what is available? Because we're talking about body cam video here, but let's say that, you know, they go out there and they do the report on the crime scene, right? Or they go or the, where the shooting was, whatever it is. Can you, are those going to be covered and protected too, or can you still get that information?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you can get the police report, but it could be heavily redacted. I mean, you know, they can really, I mean, it's, there's no arbiter to what they, who decides what investigative material. They decide what that is. They could decide every word that they write about a case. And you're really at their mercy. And that is just not the spirit of the law. So.
And there's never a point, that's the thing that gets me too, on, there's never a point where it becomes, like, I, once again, going back to the, I understand timelines, I want to protect investigations and folks in law enforcement, but then there's got to be, I'm frustrated by the fact that it's this eternal, nah, you can't see it now, can't see it now,
yeah,
you can see it never.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe if we decide that it's going to be connected to some other case somewhere in the future, we're just never going to give it to you. You know, unless it makes us look good, and then we will. And so, I mean, that's, and again, it's not against law enforcement. And it's not really against Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. This is going to affect the entire state, every statewide governmental, a governmental department that has any sort of investigative authority can hide behind this. So,
and you know what?
What if that Jonathan Victor was your brother or your son, and you wanted to know what happened? You, as a citizen, should have the right to go and ask for that body camera footage. But now you as a citizen, it's not just for journalists. You should care about this as a citizen, too. It's a terrible precedent to set.
It is, and it sounds like in the decision of the Supreme Court, you quote here that, you know, that they – the members of the Supreme Court thought this wasn't a great thing either, but they're ruling on a bad law. I think you were talking about...
And I agree with them. It is a poorly written statute, and they're charged with having to interpret something that's written very vaguely and poorly. And, you know, there have been several attempts to update the public records law in Alabama. Chris Pringle tried to do it, I think, last year, but... it always gets stuck in a committee, and nothing ever happens. Surprise, surprise. But
what are the danger? When there are the attorneys that have opposed this, what are they saying the dangers are? Can you give me what their side, what they present as the danger of letting this information out once an investigation is over? And I mean it like the way I understand an investigation being over.
They don't really give a reason. I mean, other than, like I said, they are actually argued that there's no statute of limitations on murder in this particular case. But they don't have to give you a reason at all. I mean, when we make records requests right now, sometimes we get them. Not all the time. I'd say less than half of the requests that we make are filled. And there's nowhere to turn to, to make sure it happens.
And people think, because they hear so much about a FOIA request or, sunshine law.
Oh, yeah, they think it's absolute, but it's not. I mean, it's so arbitrary. They can say, hey, yeah, you can have that, but we're going to charge you, $35 per page for you to get that information or something like that. Or, we'll get back with you, and it can be a year later, and you still haven't gotten anything. And there's no one to complain to. There's no one regulating it. So,
do you see that kind of, like... where they know that whatever piece of information they're going to end up having to provide, but they make it a real pain to do it or try to
make it so hard that you don't even want to ask anymore. It's just like, this is what we were talking about earlier today. It's like we make the FOIA request, but then at the very same time, we're always trying to figure out an alternate way to get it because we know the governmental agency is going to either not fulfill it or make it as difficult as possible.
Just joining
in. And sometimes it's not even out of malicious intent. They just don't want to deal with it.
If you're just joining us, talking to Ashley Trice, co-publisher of Land Yap, about this Supreme Court decision here. And there's no way to, you said there's no one to talk to, there's no one to complain to, there's no one over this for you to say, hey, I've made this FOIA request, I'm well within my bounds here, and they're not getting back with me.
No, there's no one. I mean,
wow.
Gabe Tynes had made a federal FOIA request, and he made it 6 years ago and got something back that was basically useless last week. So it was just like a piece of paper that really shed no light on the subject matter at hand. But, and that's what you get. That's what you're dealing with.
Other states.
Sounds all nice.
Other states, do they deal with this differently, or is this kind of how it is across the board? Have y'all looked?
It's taught to any reporter, and this is how it is.
I think you're probably...
Florida does have better laws. I will say that. Their sunshine laws are really good, but, in Alabama, you're at the mercy of the governmental agency, and some of them aren't terrible. But if they... decide they don't want to give you something, they don't have to.
And it seems like it may be...
Unless you have a legal team that can spend 5 years fighting it. What publication is going to do that? This shooting happened in 2017, and we're just now getting a ruling on this, and the ruling was you can't have it in 2021. It's old news by now. Mm-hmm. And so that's what reporters have to do. They have to move on to whatever the next story is. So,
wow. I just wonder if a system where, stepping on my foot here but if you could take a case like almost like a, not a FISA court, but something like that, right? Like you could
absolutely. If there was someone, an authority, a governing body or some board or something that you said, hey, I made this request, you know, and they could even rule, you know, say, hey, this is unreasonable. If he's not narrow enough in scope, you need to make your request narrow, and they have 90 days to comply, or, you know, or 180 or whatever it is. I mean, there are a million ways to handle it where it could be better.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, I mean, and I'm not saying that we have the right to see every second of every body camera footage either. I mean, that would be, you know, really onerous on them to have to deal with that. It would take a full-time person to have to, several full-time people to have to meet all those requests. But in something really big like this, where there's an officer-involved shooting, and that was the whole, you know, that's why we got these, is to protect everyone. You know, I mean, we might as well throw these body cameras in the garbage at this point.
Well, I mean
but I'm, you know, the body camera companies, they're very happy. They got them all out there, but they're useless at this point.
Well, I mean, I'll say this, they're useful on one side. And like I said, right. this is not a stretch. Obviously, I'm a strong supporter of law enforcement. It does exonerate law enforcement, you know, a lot of the time. But they got to, obviously, the thing cuts both ways, right?
Well, I mean, and this is not just this ruling. You know, there have been several, they've tried to get through the legislature the past couple of years to say that you don't have access to body camera footage, like to actually codify that. So, I mean, this essentially does that for them. They don't have to do that anymore. But, you know, again, what's the point of having them if we can't see them?
Let me run through a couple questions that have come in here on the text line. So Ben said, I know this is going to sound super simplistic, but if it was investigated by the agencies above the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office and was deemed a clean shoot, then why do journalists need the video?
Well, because we were told it was a clean shoot, and it was investigated by an investigative task force within the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. I mean, is that really something that's above? It was more like a division of them. And when we saw the body cam footage, it wasn't necessarily a clean shoot. The federal judge in the civil lawsuit raised many questions about the timing and how the officer responded. So, you know, I mean, and I'm not saying that it would have ultimately, like, the officer would have been charged with anything. You know, I mean, and that's a difficult decision when you're making it in a split second. I think everyone understands that. But still, once again, this family whose kid got shot on the side of the road, who'd never been in trouble ever, who was not on drugs, you know, if it was your kid, wouldn't you want to know what happened? Wouldn't you want to see that video?
Yeah, and I think
I would.
And to me, it's, and no offense to the family, but it's even bigger than that individual case. My interest in it is at large. David asked, do officer-involved shootings in Baldwin County go in front of a grand jury like the officer-involved shootings in Mobile County? I don't have an answer. I don't know that.
I think so. And I think this officer was cleared of it, you know, at least criminally, you know. But, and again, that's really not the point.
Terry says body cams are meant to collect evidence. The body cams are meant to collect evidence. The use by news agencies is just a secondary use. Well, then I'll just add this before I let Ashley respond. Then quit telling me about all this transparency. Just quit.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't want us to be your governmental watchdog, which is what we're supposed to do for you, then okay. But also, it's not just for journalism. It's for you have a right as a citizen. Your tax dollars are paying for this. So, I mean, don't you want access to something you're paying for? I mean, if you're not going to let us have it, then just don't waste our money. That's my position on it.
Then, you're not going to have, you're saying if the media or at some point concerned citizens can't get it, then don't have the body
cams.
Then
what's the point? Yeah. If you're only going to get what the police department or the law enforcement agency provides you, what they choose, if it's 5 seconds of a 5-minute video, I mean, do you trust that? I don't. I mean, I'm sorry.
All right, let's do this. Remind folks, too. I mean, this is the kind of work you all do in investigative journalism and asking those hard questions out there, the uncomfortable questions. So people want to support what y'all are doing out there, how they get signed up, how they get on board.
Just go to lanyatmobile.com and click on any of the articles, and you can get a digital subscription. And we have now added Apple Pay. as a way to pay for it.
So that's that thing where the people at the grocery store just point.
Two clicks, yeah.
That's it. So. And you just make the, like, I see the person at the grocery store just, like, pointing stuff and pressing and paying for groceries. So it's that thing.
Yes, right. It's that easy now. So you can support us, or you can find us. Of course, we have hundreds of boxes all over Mobile and Baldwin County, so.
Ashley Trice, thank you, as always, for being on the show and for this update. All right, and we'll talk again
soon.
Have
a lovely day.
You too. There she is, co-publisher of Lanyap, and we're coming right back here on Midday Mobile. We got the message.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, this tweet that came off of Jeff Poore's show earlier with Alabama Senate candidate Jessica Taylor. It's a Alabama Republican litmus test. So Jessica Taylor said, "I did not vote for Roy Moore in 2017. Remember, that was a question that led to the hubbub between Representative Mo Brooks, who will be on the show with me on Thursday, I think, yes, and Katie Britt. And she said, well, she couldn't vote. She was not a resident at that time. So somebody put up the question about voting for Roy Moore. So here we go. So Jessica Taylor has said she did not vote for Roy Moore. Here's the thing. I get it. If you're like a card-carrying Republican, that violates the rules of what you're supposed to do. I'm not, so I don't carry a base card. My driver's license, a credit card, and a old Peaches gift club card, the thing for my haircuts. But other than that, I don't carry anybody's card. But is that the new litmus test? Did you vote for Roy Moore in 2017? All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along, and grab some calls and some text. And reminder, too, those talkback messages, you can drop those by using the brand new, free, super awesome, super cool FM Talk 106.5 app. Just go to the App Store for Apple users or Google Play for Android. Just search for FMTALK, number one, number zero, number six, number five. And you'll see our logo. There it is. I don't know why. You don't put a point between the six and five. It messes it up. So FMTALK 1065. You'll see our logo. Download that app and check it out. So streaming the station, access to our 55 hours a week of locally produced programs right here from our studios at Airport and 65, plus our social media feeds, the latest traffic map information, show you when you're driving, updated weather wherever you are. Plus, you can go back and check out the archives of show. It's searchable, and it's cool. Show schedules, all that. Check it out. Brand new FM Talk 106.5 app. And when you're on that front page, you'll see that microphone icon. If you'll press that, that's how you leave us a talkback message, and we can play it back right here on the air. All right, 343-0106, and let's first go to, David in Mobile. David, go ahead.
Hey, Sean. If the reason I asked if the officer-involved shootings in Baldwin County go in front of a grand jury like they do in Mobile is if they do, then jeopardy would attach if no indictment came down from the grand jury, which would make the sheriff's department's argument null and void to the Supreme Court, because the officer could not later be charged for murder. But then again, the secrecy of the Grand Jury Act would attach to that.
So they would be put in double jeopardy, which would be, okay. All right. I'm following.
I do agree that it's a bad law and a bad ruling about a bad law. And I've been pushing legislators that I know for several years to pass what I call the BCAT Act, which stands for Body Cam Accountability and Transparency Act, which would set out a set of rules and guidelines under which body cam footage could or could not be released in the state of Alabama. And basically, it would be an opportunity for law enforcement and the media to come together like Fox 10 and the police did, of course, under a judge's ruling, of course, with the body cam footage from the officer macing the kids at the cannon when a couple of years ago when McGill won. Do you remember that?
I do.
And basically, the police said, well, we can't release the footage because it shows faces of minors. And Fox 10 said, well, we'll blot out any faces of any minors. And the judge said, okay, you can release the body cam footage.
It's just common sense getting people together on that. And good point. I just wonder if there, and I appreciate your call, David. I wonder if there's not an idea here of, because I would respect the fact that if you have body cam and video and it's right during an investigation and things are going on and you're still looking for people, I don't think you should be able to just run with it right away. Well, but at some point, you have to be able to access it, or if not, you have to be told why by a third party. So some kind of court where you could appeal it to, you know, and say, okay, I come in here, and it's like not just one judge, maybe a panel, people that have some wisdom in our state would look at it and say, you know what, law enforcement's argument here is too strong. I think we're going to go with that. Or no, in this case, the media source is really asking a fair question. You should give it to them. I mean, and you put enough people on the board, have transparency of the board, or I don't know. I think there's just a better way to do it. All right, let's go to Clint in Fairhope next. Hey, Clint.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Not much. You know, right when I tuned in that first segment, you were talking about the Proud Boys FBI informant.
Yeah, that story that came out in the New York Times this weekend where they said they were specifically talking about one of the – if people didn't catch it, that one of the informants – so a member of the Proud Boys who was working as an FBI informant was present January 6th at the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol and sent his FBI handler live updates by text messages indicating the law enforcement agency had real-time knowledge that a pro-Trump mob was heading towards the building.
Right. You said Business Insider. I read that same article earlier this morning.
And yeah, Business Insider
I
had it too.
Over sensationalized that
okay.
thing.
How did I do
you
that?
Didn't finish, you know, reading the article, and you ended your segment by saying, like, well, so there you have it. The FBI knew what was going to happen.
Well,
so you end it like that, mm-hmm. and it kind of leaves people's imagination to run wild. When in reality, that article really, at least the Business Insider article, didn't give you any more information besides they had an informant. And he alerted his handler that a pro-Trump mob was headed toward the building.
Like, correct.
Who didn't know that?
Well, it says as of that morning.
Like
hold on.
I knew what was going to happen the whole day.
Okay, so let's go back to what I read. And I want to also say, yes, so the reason that was curtailed, even it came up in the first hour, here's because I always pull the curtain back, is because Todd Stacey was about 11 minutes late for his segment with me. So that's why, because he was booked at 12:05. It says the informant described the meeting up. The informant, this is in the Business Insider story. The informant described meeting up with other members of the Proud Boys at the Washington Monument on the morning of January 6th before they moved to the Capitol record show, according to the Times, that New York Times story. The informant described seeing barriers knocked over and Trump supporters entering the building. The handler didn't appear to understand that the Capitol had been breached, according to records obtained by the Times. The right. records were provided to the outlet on the grounds that would not quote directly from the public. Okay. Informant began working with the federal investigators in July of 2020. According to the right. Times, records do not indicate whether the informant could have intentionally misled federal investigators, according to the report. Now, I don't know. They're saying that maybe he was lying to them and telling them that nothing was going to happen. But
I mean, he could have. But the point is, the only information that article is telling you is that this guy, this informant, was letting the FBI know that, hey, there's a pro-Trump mob headed towards the building. Like, who didn't know that, right? I mean, so that's not big information, but it's the way you ended your segment by saying, well, there you have it. The FBI knew what was going to happen. And it makes it seem like they have an informant who knew the whole deal, what was going to go down for the day. And I just don't think that's fair to your listeners who – you know, who Clint, take that and run with it.
Clint, here's what I was repeating. I finally found it because it said in the Business Insider story, the third blurb before you get in the meat of the story, it said, the records appear to show that the FBI had advanced knowledge that the Proud Boys members were heading towards the Capitol.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, if they were
the
part of that group.
Saying, hey, we're about to go to the Capitol, like we're following this mob, you know? And he did say they were trailing behind the mob. But again, what it's the way that you ended your segment by saying the FBI knew, there you go, the FBI knew what was going to happen.
I don't know if I said there you go, but I did say that they knew.
But the
only
thing they knew was that, you know, Proud Boys were trailing this pro-Trump mob to the Capitol. Like, that's it. There's just not, I just think you over-sensationalized
it. Okay, do you think
left it in a way that leaves people's imaginations to run wild.
All right. Well, I don't. Lord knows, out of all the things that could lead imaginations to run wild, it's this show that does it. Okay, that's good.
But it's January. I mean, it is. It's an important topic to me, and a lot of people try to downplay January 6th. But
no, I try to realistically discuss it. You know, and that's the thing, because I there's some groups that want it never discussed, and there's some groups that say it's worse than 9/11. You know, I'm trying to find out the facts. I'm not on either of those teams.
Well, but see. And I heard you say that earlier, too. And, you know, I mean, they were very different events. But, you know, if you look at it from the magnitude of, okay, well, something like January 6th happens. And to me, that was kind of like a tipping point that probably will lead to the downfall of our democracy. And so it's very important to somebody like me who views it like, okay, well, that's, you know, kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And that's going to lead to further events like this and the further downfall of our democracy. So
why is that going to bring
different from 9/11? But you know,
9/11 when you fly airplanes into buildings, the Pentagon, and you know have one crash there in Pennsylvania. That's the same as the Apple Dumpling Gang going into the Capitol. Where the only person, like, what'd they get? Like three of those people. Hold on, Clint. Hold on, Clint. Let me finish my sentence, Clint. You know. Let me finish my sentence. Apple Dumpling goes in there. The one person that was killed, the violence there was against one of the protesters, right? And I'm not on their team or anything, Clint. I'm just trying to assess what happened. That's the person who was shot, Ashley Babbitt, correct? Was there any even that member of the Capitol Police, they tried to make it seem like they died because of the events of January 6th. It turned out that wasn't what happened. So tell me how this is the same as 9/11 or
I didn't say that. Whoa, back up. I didn't.
But
say
you say
that.
This is the downfall of our democracy. Okay, how is this a downfall of our democracy?
Because it shows that something like that can happen to the United States, to the Capitol building. It can be overrun. It can be taken down. I mean, it could have easily been taken out.
Is it like home plate? If the Apple Dumpling Gang gets in there and takes hold of that, do they now take control of the
government? Apple Dumpling Gang, see there again, you're downplaying what happened.
And see again, you're getting butthurt by it. So what I'm saying is if they go in there and take control of it, do they all of a sudden have control of the U.S. government? If you get on base, right? And once again, I think these are a bunch of idiots, and I want them prosecuted within the law. But if you get on base and control the Capitol building, do you now control the U.S. government?
Now we have a problem.
What's that? If they control the building, would that be the end? If they took control of the building for some period of time and control the Capitol building, is that the end of this great experiment of our republic? I say no. I say you got to go in there and you smoke grenade them out and put them in cuffs and drag their butts out.
But let me say this. The reason why people showed up January 6th, I mean, would you agree that it was a lot of those people to get Mike Pence to overturn the election? Find some way through the legislative branch to overturn the election and declare Trump the winner.
I don't know what the majority. I know the majority of them were PO'd at what had happened in the election. That's for sure. Yes.
Okay. Well,
like the people who said that Pence is the traitor stuff. I've fought with them just as many times on the air as anything else. Right.
Okay, but they would have loved to have had him not.
Sure, but that's not our government. Just because, you know, I know it seems like to people, if you're unhappy and bitch loud enough, then you get things changed. It doesn't work that way.
I think a lot of them were there to get the election overturned, and if that would have happened and Pence would have decided not to certify the votes and declare Trump the winner, I think that would have been the downfall of our democracy. So I think we are very, very close.
So you're saying that a conservative, an uber conservative Republican in Mike Pence saved our republic?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to check. Appreciate the call. Thank you. So there we go. By the way, I leave tomorrow night for Washington. Be up there. It's going to be a hell of a week in Washington. And I do appreciate the call, Clint. I like people. You don't have to agree to come on here at all. Lord knows I've been hearing for years. All right. 1:48. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. And by the way, this just reminds me, you know, looking at the text line. Why I I bore with these discussions. And we have shows on the station where you go back and forth and everybody trying to score points one way or another on this thing. I mean, maybe it'd just be easy. Man, be like all the other people in talk radio and just come in with a completely non-nuanced view of anything and just rah, 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 and then get the other side to go boo, 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 and then rah, rah, rah. And then, by the way, this segment of the show brought to you by Stamps.com. We are a Stamps.com user here at FM Talk 106.5. And what it does is, well, it saves us time and saves us money. But and people say, oh, save time and money. Okay, here's how it does it. Number one, we don't have people going, we've done this before. With Stamps.com, we don't have to have somebody go to the post office. The hassle of going to the post office. And we are a small business. We don't have like somebody in the mailroom, somebody who they're just there kind of collecting it. Everybody here grinds to get the thing done that is this radio station. So if somebody's out getting stamps, they're not doing what we do around here. That's making great radio, I hope. And also with stamps.com, you can save up to 40% off post office rates and 66% off UPS shipping rates. Here's how it works. Get stamps.com on your computer, brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service right there to your computer, and you just go on there and print your stamps like we do. And also with stamps.com, you'll get discounts up to 40% off post office rates. So do this today. Stamps.com, a fraction of the cost of the expensive postage meters as well. It's a no-brainer, saves you time, and saves you money. So there you go. Stop wasting time. And don't go to the post office. Go to stamps.com instead like we did. And there's no risk. When you use my promo code Sean, S-E-A-N, you'll get a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone on the top of the homepage, and type in my first name, Sean. It's stamps.com, promo code Sean, S-E-A-N, stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. So I don't know if I even could, I could go through and read all these. Let's see. See, and there's the, it's great though. I mean, because I get people that are mad that Clint's on the air, and I got people that are saying that, you know, thankfully somebody's getting me to tell the truth, or I, you know what? What is the cliche that, from the a few good? You don't care about the truth, or you can't take the truth. You know, no. It's, I'm going to change it. You don't care about the truth. If you get so much into your punditry that you don't care about the truth, then oh well. Let's see. Yeah. So Sean on the text line spelled the right way. Said the Capitol riot dashed the hopes of getting anything overturned. So Anderson says, so the riots and the arson and the destruction of property are not signs of a concern, just people demonstrating at the Capitol building. Okay, so there you go. You know, and Anderson, I think this is where, okay, this is where we get in the truth of it. What was going on with the morons that stormed the Capitol, I'm not for having sentences longer than anybody else for that sentence, but put their butts in jail. You know, they had the thing up there that they were political prisoners. Well, shut up. They're not political prisoners. They broke the law. They prosecute them accordingly, okay? That was a small group of the people there were there to protest, Anderson. Those people, and I will defend their right to protest on both sides of the aisle, because that's what it means to be an American. But yeah, and the reason I get somebody say, quit calling them the Apple Dumpling Gang, it diminishes it or something, I'm paraphrasing there. I call them that because did you really think that was a group of people that were going to overtake our government? Do you think that was the coup d'etat? Did you think that that was the Force 5 from Mozambique that was going to come in? Come on. But they broke the law. And I have no problem with them being arrested and hauled off. But that's not the whole story. To say that this was, you know, this, was it a news story and a heck of a news story? Sure it was. But was this the, were we on the precipice of this and going to lose our republic? God, come on. Put their butts in jail. Let them serve the term that they sentence them accordingly, not to score points, sentence them accordingly, and be done with it. This idea, this has been manufactured on both sides to mean different things because it's for political benefit. Listen, and I will say this, if I was a Democrat operative, I would never let this go away. I'd create a whole narrative of what it meant, which is not what it meant, but I'd create a new narrative, and I would never let it go. All day long, I would go on and on and on with this. Because it's politically expedient for those people who don't look into it any further. It's going to be a make everything else okay, because look at this thing that happened. We'll calm things down with Feinbaum. People will be excited about that. Big Auburn win, probably. We'll be excited about that on Feinbaum Show. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. We'll do it all again for Midday Mobile. Smooches, everybody. Have a good one.